Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the kiwi of conversation and putting that in the fruit salad.
That's a gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is Sarah Baron.
Sarah Baron, a wonderful comedian, James.
So funny. Oh, we've both seen her do stand-up many times. Yes. Always has us laughing.
Yes.
Has us laughing our heads off. I've interviewed her before.
And, yes.
Another podcast. Sorry to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, she's an excellent guest, is what I'm saying. I know we're in for a treat here.
Sarah also has a podcast about television, James, that she co-hosts with Jeff Lloyd, who is a wonderful broadcaster, and also Sarah's husband.
What?
So they did a very successful podcast about Succession, when Succession was coming out.
Oh, great.
And now they have pivoted that obviously great on-air and off-air relationship into talking about TV in general. So do go and get that podcast, which is called They Like to Watch.
Now, listen, we love Sarah Baron.
Yes.
But as always, if Sarah picks a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will be forced to kick her off of the podcast.
Yes, we will kick her off the podcast. And today, the secret ingredient is
a Wendy's burger.
This is because Sarah also does another podcast, which is sort of the official podcast for Wendy's Burgers, James. It's certainly, I believe, sponsored by Wendy's Burgers.
So we are not throwing any shade to Wendy's here by saying we don't like the burgers.
No, I ain't never had no Wendy's burger.
I've never had a Wendy's burger. We're little English boys.
Yeah.
There's not a Wendy's near us, but
also
it's relevant to the guest.
It is. And we've been to America.
Yep.
But I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to America, I'm not going to waste a meal on a Wendy's burger.
Well, listen, I would do that.
You haven't. You've been to America more than anyone else I know.
Yeah, I've been loads. I've never had a Wendy's.
Yeah.
But, like, I will at some point.
Yes.
You know, like, I went and had Popeye's chicken once.
Yeah.
Because we've got it here now, but we didn't at the time. So I was like, I'm just going to try this fast food chain.
Do you like it?
No.
Maybe if we ever go to America to record some podcasts again, we can go and get a Wendy's.
Yeah, we should. We should get a Wendy's next time we're there.
Yeah.
And see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, absolutely. But there will be a bloody fuss if Sarah says Wendy's because she's been kicked off the podcast, and that would be a shame because I like her a lot.
Yes, hopefully that won't happen, but let's find out.
This is the off-menu menu of Sarah Baron. Welcome, Sarah, to the Dream Restaurant.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for... Oh!
Welcome, Sarah Barron, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, this is just a joy. And I love when someone's energy is higher than my own.
Yes.
It never happens for me. But it makes me feel like I'm in a safe space to really explode in my own way at some point.
Yeah, good. Well, we're looking forward to that for sure. Very high energy act as well.
I know. And I'm trying to tone it down.
No, why?
Because I think I once, in a different point of my life, I was teaching like adult continuing ed at like a shitty school. I teach like writing classes to adults, and we'd have to be observed by like the dean of this kind of bullshit school. And then he wrote this review of my teaching that was like, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never given this critique before, but would you mind speaking more quietly? And I think that something about, I think there's an oppressiveness to, I mean, I'm sure I'm saying this to you now to get you to be like, Sarah, no, no, no. Uh-huh. But I'm always trying to like dial down.
Mm. I'd say no.
Rein it in for me.
There definitely is an oppressiveness.
Yeah.
But
thank
it's
you.
Great.
Yeah.
Because you're now doing it in a world where that's welcome. It's you know, I want that in your comedy act. I don't want to go and see a Sarah Barron show and you're talking all quiet or
and sort of like deadpan. No, you want to leave feeling exhausted.
Yeah.
People say that to me. They'll be like, you must be exhausted. I'm like, this is not a compliment about my personality or my stand-up.
I'd say if that's the first thing they're saying to you after a show,
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You must
be exhausted.
Yeah. I have a friend who's thing, like, I will lie through my teeth about anything. Yeah. Like, a disingenuous compliment is, like, my whole personality.
Yeah. Good to know that, bearing in mind you turned up and said we had nice skin.
No. Let me just say, it's also my love language. Or maybe it's my communication style. Yeah. So just when I see someone, I do think that I go compliment is a way of ingratiating, but it's sincere.
Right.
I'm talking like immediately after a performance of some kind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have zero problem being like, I mean, this is the best I've ever seen you. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, you're terrible, right? I just have no problem being insincere. My friend cannot do that. And so his thing is that he will always go, you did it!
Yeah.
As a way of having a thing to say just after something to say. That's disappointed
that, you. You did it. I would hate that if someone said that to me.
Yeah.
How do you think that went? Is obviously really bad.
The worst.
How do you remember it all? I've had that before.
Were you happy with that?
No.
Is another one.
Also, I don't think I did remember it all.
Oh.
You remembered that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's never leaving my head until I die. Be the last thing I remember.
Yeah.
These horrible things that people say.
I know.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like I'm excited. I was excited for and then excited in the presence of your high energy welcome, James.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm happy that, you know, it was a lot of pressure on me.
Uh-huh.
Given someone who is high energy, high energy welcome.
But you're a genie, so it's, you know, high energy genie.
Ooh.
It was fun watching you come out of that little
pun. Yeah, let's not even talk about the pun.
Lamp.
It's very fun.
It's very Disney princessy Aladdin-y to me. Is that the journey it takes?
Aladdin's
most of your
definitely
guessing?
Come up before. Uh-huh. I'm not going to make out like Aladdin's ever been, but it is quite. I mean, Disney princesses. How do you? I'd love to hear Sarah Barron's views on the Disney princesses. Maybe all of them individually, one by one, and the concept of Disney princesses as a whole.
Generally, not ready for that. I did some prep, and I don't feel ready. I can say that I had a period of my adolescence where I was like very into what was the trio? Because I'm a bit older than the two of you, so it went like there was a Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. What's the hand movements you're doing?
It's just I'm like what am I doing?
Are you rifling
it's
through
like a
your memory?
Kitten pouring at something.
Yes, I think I'm a combination of a little kitten going meow meow.
Yeah. And then also you're looking through the Rolodex of your mind.
I think I am looking through my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, so interesting. Aren't I fascinating, boys? Okay, so there was Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Then we're all early Ariel. 90s here. Then we have Ariel. Mm. Then we have Jasmine from Aladdin. So those three I know well. Mm-hmm. Anything after that, I have zero awareness of Disney films.
Would you count Nala in The Lion King as the Disney princess or no, because she's a lion?
No, because by then I was a teenager, so I was like through the princesses by then. I was very, you know, Barbie dolls, princesses, and then age 12, it was like done.
And what would you move on to? Is it not broadcastable?
I'm just thinking. I think it's not. I think then I started writing in notebooks. I'm just sat here thinking, it, basically, this is arguably an anecdote for a little later in our conversation, but okay. I can go big at the beginning.
That's what we were hoping for.
Yeah. So basically I went from playing with dolls to there is so much fear in the eyes of the three men at the table, yes. Six eyes of fear. I went into diary writing.
Yes.
Okay. And then diary writing, as I matured, turned into erotic diary writing.
Wow.
That was clearly me having some kind of exploration.
Yes.
Of the issues that we all confront. Ed, have you ever been more, like, have you ever been less physically comfortable than you are right now?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Are you fine?
I want to hear some details of these diaries.
Okay, then thank you so much. I will tell them.
Yeah.
So it's essentially what it is it's like pornography written by a child.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I'm slightly more uncomfortable now.
Yes, but if you want
me to keep a tally on it.
Yeah, okay. I understand how that sort of ratcheted it up for you, but stay with me here.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's the word child.
It's the word child in pornography. No one loves the combo.
I prefer the way around you said.
What did I say?
You said pornography written by a child. That's the way around I want those words to be.
Correct.
If they have to be said near each other.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the guidance.
Yes.
Thank you for the guidance. Yeah. So because and also if it makes you guys feel more comfortable, the characters in my head as I was writing them, like they were like 18.
Mm. Right.
Okay. So I'm like 12 and my characters whose story I'm writing are like 18.
The protagonist is 18.
The protagonist, Jenny.
Because for a second I thought you were saying the other characters were,
here we go.
Were 18.
You just glossed over
no,
the fact
that.
Because that would make me feel way worse.
No. This is from the mind of a child.
But you're talking about...
But she's thinking to her, right?
Jenny's
like
18.
The coolest people, if you're 12, is like a 17-year-old. Are you kidding when like you're 12?
Let's say 18.
You want 18, not a problem. I get it. Okay. So my spelling is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm using proper language because that was how I was raised.
Yes.
Proper language.
Yes.
So repeatedly, I make mention of boobs. But I spell it Bob's. Repeatedly, I use the word penis.
Yeah.
But I spell it pinus. So it'll be like, I took my Bob's and I'll put them on his pinus. Like, very, very, very strange. And then I didn't, like, there was... If you guys want to avoid eye contact in this next part, that's like completely fine.
I'm looking right at you.
Yeah, you're looking. It's so, there's like so much empathy in what you're doing in a way. Because you're like, I really want to carry her through this.
But also I want to make sure you keep talking about it because I am finding it very funny.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
So, and like weird shit happens and so I had the thing. I don't even think it was a sexual thing. I just think it was like an interest in Michael Bolton. Was he a thing over here?
Yeah, sure.
So wait, Ed, listen to me. Ed, you couldn't have sex unless some song from the album Time, Love, and Tenderness was playing. So a consistent feature is like, hold on.
Yeah, I've got to put on.
I got to go put on some Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
And you always had to have champagne.
Yes, yeah, of
you could not have sexual intercourse without like a
champagne.
That was sort of how you began, and then once everyone was done, was like, and then didn't.
Was Jenny having sex every day?
Yeah, she had sex multiple times a day, every day, and she'd go to like a car, and she'd like she'd do it in a car.
Yeah. But there'd have to be champagne in the car, right?
There's champagne in Michael Bolton. It's like it's just there.
Yeah.
She'd go to like a party and be like, hey. You're like, hey, you feel like doing it tonight?
Oh, wow.
She's very forward. You feel like doing it tonight.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, you feel like doing it tonight? Yeah. And then the guy'd be like, yeah, I can do it tonight. And then they'd like go into a room at like wherever the house party was and they'd be like, would you like a glass of champagne? And then you put on the music
champagne.
And you do it.
Yeah.
And I
get his pinus out.
I get his pinus out. But interestingly about his pinus is I didn't understand. I thought the reverse about erections.
Well, you thought they were hard all the time and they went soft for sex?
Not quite, although basically, when I hear someone else say it back to me, it's so much better. It was that I thought if an erection went on too long, you had to stop. It was like, calm that pinus down.
Yeah,
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's too
it's
hard.
Too hard.
Yeah.
We got to soften that pinus for this to continue. And then the grand... the grand finale was I didn't understand, like, certainly for women, the idea of orgasms were very, very unclear.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good, I mean, good.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. Right? Well, right? And I would...
Would have been good.
Well, I just... I would be more worried if Sarah, when she was 12, was writing with a full knowledge of all... sexual intercourse.
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of women would say that those kind of things need to be taught about more from an earlier age.
I would agree, but I wasn't the one to carry that weight. Yeah. I couldn't be educating the masses.
Let's work on the spelling before we get into the intercourse. I think if you can't spell penis, you shouldn't be allowed to see one or touch one.
Sure, agreed. Sure. Nobody's going near my penis.
And I feel the need to say, I think where this came from was a complete lack of exposure to anything real.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw a piece of actual pornography until I was like 20. I mean, really remedial shit. Yeah.
Well, you didn't need it. You were
Look at this brain, boys. Yeah, look at this big brain. Yeah. This sexy brain.
Yeah.
So there'd be like talk about mounting feelings, but then I didn't understand what would happen. And so the characters would just piss all over each other. Like, oh, and then his penis something, and I peed on him.
Wow.
I feel we've really opened with one of the most
did you not
see the pee pee coming?
No, there was no ramp up to it. You gave
you
no
didn't
like
see pee pee coming?
You gave no there was no disclaimers.
Yeah.
It was just straight into they peed all over each other.
Oh, because that was like, and then he peed on him.
So when Jenny was doing it with someone, so you go to the house party, you go to a room, champagne, Michael Bolton, and they'd look at each other and then just both urinate on each other.
No, it would be like I said humping a lot. It'd be like humping.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you believe what a thing?
Sure, I can believe it.
I've thought about this like little diary that I kept quite a few times in my life. But the transition from dolls to princesses to writing my own stories.
Yeah.
I never thought of those things as part of a continuum, but I think they are.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what happens if you are Sir Baron, who are favorite Disney princesses. whatever we ask.
I didn't even know we would go there, but great.
Well, look, on the subject of urination, still a sparkling water.
Oh, okay. I'm one of these people, I feel like attacked by sparkling water.
Yeah. Right.
Because there's a situation where I wouldn't, but I feel generally water is to hydrate.
Yeah.
And or... if I am having a lovely meal out and part of the plan for the evening is like I'm going to drink, I have a real fixation on never getting too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I love the taste of alcohol, but I don't particularly love drunkenness. Mm-hmm. So I feel the water is there to hydrate, to help me. Sparkling water is like, it's there as I drank a lot of sparkling water when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like a prop. Not a hydration device.
So if you're not drinking alcohol, you would have sparkling water.
Yes. I'm going through a phase where I'm like, I'm going to be good, but I feel no true meal is complete without a beverage other than a regular water.
Right.
I might go still sparkling, heavy on the ice, and many pieces of fresh lime squeezed in.
Mm.
Do you not like sparkling water because it reminds you a bit of champagne and you don't want to piss over everyone? Yeah, maybe.
Do you drink champagne much now?
That's interesting. Do I drink? It's a little. I'm like a really cheap bitch, and I didn't even really know that until it was explained to me about myself by various friends and my husband. But I'm also like a real snob, so I don't want to. Don't give me a Prosecco.
Yeah.
Oh no, I want some expensive fucking shit.
Yeah.
From France.
Yeah.
It's going to cost me like £25 for a glass, but I'm also never willing to spend that. So it lives in this hinterland of things I so desire, but won't treat myself to.
But then if they suddenly said, oh, we're doing like a deal and all this champagne's really cheap today, would that stop you drinking it because it was cheap?
And you're no. Because the point is it is expensive. I'm just getting it at a deal.
Yeah.
We, my husband and I, one night we were going over to a friend's house for dinner, and they had had a couple, and they had had like some wonderful new, like they were recently engaged to be married. He had just had like a wonderful professional milestone, and we're walking over, and I said to my husband, I was like, we should pick up a bottle of champagne, right? And he looked at me like, look how much you've grown. Yes, that is, that's a lovely thing that a grown up would do.
Yeah.
And I walked in to this liquor shop and I saw how much it would actually cost to buy a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, I was like, I physically cannot do this. So you go in there and you spend fucking 50 pounds on these assholes that I need to fucking celebrate tonight. Like, I'm so, it just, that cheapness lives inside me. And but it's a lifelong project to.
That's nice that the intent was still there. So you knew that you wanted to do that, but it, you just couldn't physically commit the act yourself.
But I told my husband to do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think it is, if I may spin this to a positive, it is showing some amount of growth within me.
Yeah.
But so I now know the appropriate way to behave. It took me until my mid 30s to understand how other people act when they're decent humans.
Right.
And now it's hard for me, but I am always trying to force myself to be the change that I want to see in my family.
Nice.
Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Sarah Bowman? Problems or bread?
Okay, I had a last minute shift on this one. Up until the point of entering your fine offices, I was going to go Papadum.
Yeah.
Specifically because a bread to start a meal is, I love, who doesn't love bread? I mean, I know those people are out there, but I sort of believe that something strange emotionally has happened to them to rob
them.
People
who don't like bread.
Yeah, I think it's like.
Or are you suggesting gluten intolerant people have done something in a previous life?
I'm suggesting that gluten intolerant people are fucking liars. No, I'm just joking. No, really, I'm saying it's a very unique thing to not love.
Yeah.
So the truth of my love.
Yeah.
Is that the title of one of the stories?
Yeah,
man. Yeah, gotta be. That's what Jenny read along over.
Once in a while, I hear myself say sentences, and I know it sounds way too American, and then I'm sort of always wishing I could rewind instead of...
The truth of your love.
The truth of my love is bread. So I think I should say bread, even though if I was truly sitting down to, like, a three-course meal, I would go Papadum just for the lightness of it all. Final answer, bread... But plot twist, and after being so judgmental of people who don't like bread, I cannot eat butter.
Wow.
Okay.
You just can't?
No, I've always hated it. And like, you know, butter baked into something, whatever. So if I sit down to a meal and I can see some really nice bread, what I want is like the finest of olive oils dipped into a little ramekin and then some very expensive sea salt to sprinkle into that olive, like a it's almost green. Dip the sourdough, that's what I'm picturing, into the olive oil.
So no balsamic, but you would like sea salt into the olive olive oil itself.
Yes, I have grown out. I worked in an Italian restaurant for like 6 years in my 20s, and something about that process inched me out of my love of balsamic.
Wow.
Have you guys had an aceto?
No.
What?
It's an aged balsamic. Right. So think of a thicker... finer balsamic.
Than I have then. I just did not know that was the name for it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. What about it, seeing it every day, has stopped you liking it now? Do they do something to it in the back?
No. They didn't. No. I think I felt like I experienced, and it wasn't even like that. It was one of these places. It wasn't particularly fancy, but it was in the, like back in the day when it first opened, it was cool, man.
Right.
So they're doing some cool, right? Like an aceto.
Yeah.
And there was some bit of snobbery about it that I think was actually unfounded, but it must have like wormed its way into my brain. I think what I feel is that most of the times I would ask for a balsamic, I wouldn't love the balsamic. I'd trust the olive oil, but not the balsamic.
Right.
It would be too watery.
Yeah, I mean, come to think of it, I'm not like anti-balsamic, but like I would pick olive oil any day.
Yeah.
Out of the two.
Well, it's not normally one or the other, is it?
Yeah,
I mean, look, balsamic had a real day back then. Yeah. You know, it was big.
Huge.
You know, and it was in everyone's kitchens for a while, put it in all the salads and stuff. Now, I ain't going near it.
No.
There's other vinegars I prefer. I'll just say it.
Wow.
I'll put it out there.
Wow. Go. What are you going for?
Apple cider vinegar. I'll put that in a dressing with mustard any day of the week compared to balsamic.
Are you making a lot of dressings? You seem like a guy who would make a lot of dressings.
Not at the moment.
But, a guy who washes his face before bed.
Well, that was a conversation before the podcast, but...
No, still.
People should know, you're both glowing today. And I was interested upon entry in your skin regimes because I've been suffering some problems at the moment. I'm interested in what other people are doing.
Right.
Big reveal, Ed doesn't wash his face before he goes to bed. No. If I were one of your listeners, I'd be so into that detail about you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, there you go.
So
natural oils, you've got to let the natural oils swim around. And I naturally produce balsamic as well.
Do you now?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well,
that's
exciting. Black goo. Same thing, innit?
Hosted this podcast with him for a long time now. And I didn't know that he excretes balsamic from some part of him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exciting. Apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
People wash with that or something, don't they? Or they drink it. I don't know.
My mother drinks. She's like real into that stuff. And she does some shit with apple cider vinegar, actually, now that you mention it.
White wine vinegar, better than balsamic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
These are for your dressings.
Yeah. Apple cider vinegar, rapeseed oil, and whole grain mustard is a lovely dressing.
Wow, there we go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, or I'll even use soy sauce, sesame oil, and rice wine vinegar.
Oh, wow.
Is a good dressing if you want to.
I love the sign on that one. That piques my interest more. I love sesame oil.
Where do you guys stand on the idea of an incredible salad? Does it exist as far as you're concerned?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Just a bit. Love salad. Mm. No?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, do you think you've learned to love salad, but you tell yourself? No?
No.
Okay. Let me tell you. Recently, just last night, so there's a salad that I've really got into lately.
Uh-huh.
I get it on Deliveroo, to be fair, so it's not even like I make it myself. But Mildred's did this amazing artichoke Caesar salad.
Uh-huh.
And my go-to from Mildred's used to be this rice bowl with tofu, with fried tofu in it. Delicious. And kimchi.
Mm.
And just as a side, I got this salad one day, and I was like, whoa, we've got ourselves a new headliner. I don't even care about this tofu dish anymore. And now yesterday I was like so excited, thinking all day about, and can't wait to get that artichoke Caesar salad later on.
Very
delicious.
Very interesting.
The possibilities are endless with salad.
Do you guys answer individually, do you make a big effort to watch your girlish figures, both of you? Because Ed, I think of you as I've eaten a meal with James, but I've seen you eat a meal, and it was I think it was in the run up to your wedding, and you were like in a zone with your eating.
Yeah,
so I don't know how
you've not seen me eat a meal.
Okay, very fair.
Different time.
I'd say 60% of the time I probably eat fairly healthily, and then 40% of the time I absolutely go to town because it's my biggest joy.
And is the same true for you, James?
I don't know, really. I mean, I haven't really had to think about it until recent times when my metabolism went, now you have a more normal metabolism, bad luck. But I definitely do think about it. But also, I just can't, I love eating unhealthy food, but I can't do it all the time. I just feel like, ugh.
Right.
I get a hangover from food.
Same.
Yeah. So like that salad thing isn't even trying to be, delicious.
You're listening to your bodies.
I have to do the opposite. I have to override my brain, which thinks that this can't be a treat because it's a salad. You can't love this as much as you think you do, because this is just a boring salad. And I've got to actually override that and go, no, I do love it. And I'm almost not going to order it just because I think it's boring. But actually, this is what I want right now. And often I'll order something thinking, no, this is what I want, like something that's not as good for me. And I'll know it's not really what I want.
But you're trying to treat yourself.
I'm on autopilot.
Yeah.
And then I'll be eating it going, this is disgusting. I never even wanted this. What the hell is wrong? What am I doing? I wish I just got that salad that I actually, that's what I really wanted.
But you were trying and failing to treat yourself, essentially.
Or it's just like, I think my body is just on that kind of like autopilot. You know, the first thing I did when my pocket money went up to £2 as a kid was say to my parents, can I spend this all on sweets? That was number one question. So like, that's what my brain is geared towards, is I'm going to spend money on food. Can I spend it all on sweets? Can I spend it all on stuff that is like naughty treats? And actually, I don't always want that.
No.
No, but you're still sort of, still within you from your childhood.
Yeah.
So you're from America, of course.
Of course.
Congratulations.
Thank you. What an accomplishment.
Now, salad, sometimes in America, means just something covered in mayonnaise, right? Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. That's why I think I still don't understand the decency of salad.
But like, literally, like chicken salad would be chicken and mayonnaise mixed together, right? Chicken. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. There was a place growing up where you'd go and you get like the taco salad, and it was the most repulsive thing. It was like disgusting black olives, some cold unseasonal tomatoes, a half of a boiled egg, and like cauliflower florets, and then some disgusting dressing on top of it. And that, I think, I am still trying to unlearn that as what a salad is.
Coastal towns in the US, especially in California, what great salad places.
I know, but I didn't grow up there.
No.
I feel bad speaking this way of my native town, but I'm from right outside Chicago, and I feel like my feeling on too many Chicago establishments, too much sauce, too much sauce, oversauced. As a city, it's oversauced. Too many TVs in the restaurants there.
Whoa.
And I love TV. I think it's the thing I love as much as I love food.
You do a podcast about it.
I do a podcast about it. Yeah. I love my television.
Yeah.
But I see a TV in a restaurant and I go,
bad restaurant.
No, it's like garnishes on cocktails, I think, reveal everything about a restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I think a TV on the wall makes me go, nah. And I know that's very snobby, but I've also had it, you know, this is based on experience.
But also, you've already called yourself out for being snobby at the beginning of the podcast, so you can just go hell
for leather. I can just say whatever the fuck I want now.
Talk me through the garnishes on the cocktails theory.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're ordering
a
Manhattan.
Yes.
Here are three things the Manhattan can come with.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, a maraschino cherry. Uh-huh. Are you picturing that?
Yeah.
Bright red.
Yeah.
Got it in my head.
Number two, good. Number two, a brandied cherry.
Mm.
You picturing that?
Darker.
Darker.
Yeah, yeah.
Number three, orange zest. Now, to me, maraschino cherry says you're in a fucking dumpster heap here.
Might even come in a plastic glass as
Exactly.
Well.
Sure.
Don't mind it.
The other two make me, you don't mind it?
Not really.
Oh, really? Oh, you want...
If I'm in a dive bar, I love that.
And would you order a Manhattan in a dive bar?
Probably in the States.
Yes, but not over here, right?
No. Well, also, there's not really dive bars here. Because dive bars here are self-consciously like US dive bars, so they're probably better bars because they're like, they're going, oh, we're all about the aesthetic and the drinks and all that.
This is so funny. I've completely forgotten this, but I think, when I lived in the States, I would have had a cocktail in a dive.
Yeah.
And we all would have been like, into how grimy
also,
it was.
Like strong pours as well, like proper, like just pouring a whole glass of beer.
Get it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Sam's in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did they really get you wasted?
I went in there. I tried to get tacos from a place that was shut. So we just took a chance on Sam's barbecue. Went in. Some of the best ribs I've ever had in my life. And then they're doing takeaway daiquiris. And so we're like, we'll get these for the road. We're walking back to the hotel. They were insane. All the colours of the rainbow. And tasted like the amount of sugar that's probably in a rainbow if you drank it. Like it was bonkers and so much booze. Delicious.
Can you handle that without puking?
Yeah, I did. But like when I laid down to go to bed, never from just one drink before.
Yeah.
Have I felt like, I'm going to space. This is like...
Well, I think you need to go in there knowing the amount of booze they're putting in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because then... I don't drink them at the same speed as I would drinks in the pub here.
Right.
So I'm not having like four of them.
Right.
I'm having two, probably.
Yeah.
But I love the dive bars in the US, but here I think the dive bars are shit pubs that are the equivalent.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Yeah, you can't.
The UK does so many things beautifully, but not a dive bar, does it?
No.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Your dream starter, Sarah Baron.
Okay. So I've realized about myself, because I think as the gentlemen here do, like I think about food and I think about thinking about food all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to me to have a new thought about food, which I did trying to come up with my dream menu, which is I don't think I ever truly crave a main. I think it's possible that every food I have ever gone, oh my God, is some version of a starter. So this part was very difficult. And then there was like nothing I truly wanted as a main. So I think my number one starter is the dream plate of nachos.
Wow.
The most incredibly done nachos that you have ever prepared.
Yeah.
My brother is a professional cook. And I was back in Chicago for a birthday. I don't remember how old. And he said, like, what do you want for dinner? And I said,
he's a professional cook in Chicago.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is he the Bear from the Bear?
My brother, listen to this. What? My brother trained at Michelin restaurants, like did the whole thing in Spain, doing all that shit. Right. Comes to Chicago, trains in all these like Michelin-y restaurants, and then opens a sandwich shop. And so when the bear started, they go to my brother and they're like, would you consult on this show? And my brother is like, this sounds fucking stupid, and no, and turned it down. And now he's like midway, because he, we pre-talked, our pre-chat was bear related.
Yeah.
I have, my brother and I think a lot of other industry professionals do not die for the bear in the way that some of the rest of us do.
Of course,
but now he's watching it being like, I can't, it's such a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, he like hates it because he doesn't feel it's a realistic representation. But that is his story and his journey. So now if you guys are in Chicago, you will have to go there for one of his sandwiches.
Nah, only if he was a consultant on the bear I would go.
Yeah, I'm at his place.
No, I'm too busy. I'm going around all the places are owned by people.
Except my brother's sandwich truck. Except my brother's sandwich truck.
I only eat food by people who are consultants on the bear.
Just show up there, look for someone who looks a little bit like me, but younger and a man, and then just say that and then leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And for listeners, James is wearing a t-shirt from the Bear.
I am currently wearing, the original birth of Chicagoland.
So this is mad. This is mad this has happened.
It's mad that your brother is the Bear, but also isn't the Bear and hates the Bear.
Is your brother a hottie?
Here's whether or not my brother is a hottie. Are you ready for this?
All right.
They tried to use him as an arm consultant on the Bear.
No. So my brother was like not attractive. So he was this very round, round boy.
Yeah.
Which is great. Be a little round boy.
Yeah. No,
fine. Grows up.
Yeah.
And is like, something happened. Mm. And he's still a husky boy. Husky.
Yeah.
But he got attractive. Mm. And there was this sort of window between him growing and like being on track and like before he had three kids and life gets difficult. And my friends would be like, your brother is so hot. Like, whatever, your brother's hot. And I'd be like, okay. And my parents are obsessed with my brother's hotness. In our family, I am the natural byproduct of my parents. Right. Like, they're these two people and they're how they are. And I'm the child that they would have.
The perfect combination of all of their things. Right? Well,
I would say the shitty combination of all of their things. But thank you for the compliment.
No worries.
And then
we won't be able to talk you out of what you've just said, so fair enough. Carry on, but whatever.
And then they have this boy, and he is this blonde, beautiful, perfect creature. And they cannot believe that they made this child who's so perfect. And at my sister-in-law, dark, but it will get funny again, I hope. Her father passed away, and I went to we're a Jewish family, so I went for the Shiva, which is sort of like the wake. And so that's the environment. It's a Shiva, and where people are mourning. And it was one of the occasions where my sister-in-law was like introducing my brother to all these friends and family for the first time. And I'm there with my parents, and my father kept going, watch people look at your brother for the first time. Watch people look at your brother.
they can't believe how handsome he is. They watch the next time she introduced. What? They're like obsessed with his beauty.
Yeah,
and he's not. What I always say about my brother's attractiveness is if I say nothing about it to people and then they meet my brother, they're like, your brother's kind of hot.
Yeah, yeah.
If I go on about it, now when you guys see him, you'll be like, you really oversold how hot your brother is.
Yeah.
So this has been this thing. And in my late 20s and his sort of early to mid 20s, I was like, oh, I guess my brother is like a babe.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a summer in Chicago. So he's always lived in Chicago. And when I was in the States, I was mostly in New York. And I was cycling. It's a great cycling city. And there are all these like really like six-way intersection things or whatever. And I'm cycling. I'm like 28. I'm adorable.
Yeah.
I'm peeking. I'll say it. You can't say it, but I was a peeking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like a girl on a bike. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I see across the way. I see an adorable man also on a bike.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and I'm like, and I was just like, oh,
no.
That like cute boy is looking at me. Like, that's so great. Oh, like, what will come of this? Because we're going to cycle past each other. Mm. But just that's a lovely and flattering moment.
Did you piss?
That would happen later.
Yeah.
The light turns green. Mm. We cycle. We're looking at each other. We're fucking looking at each other. We get close enough. I'm like, that's my brother. Yeah. That would be my brother. We stop. I'm like, I thought you were working. I was like, oh, we never spoke about it. Like, it was, we were 100% checking each other out.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Never spoken about.
Well, how do you know he was checking you out? And he wasn't just like, oh, there's seven.
I'll tell you, first of all, that hurts my feelings. Yeah. Second of all, because of the awkwardness that I could feel. And then years went by and I was like, oh, that's like a funny, it's like a funny thing that happened. And my sister-in-law does not find it amusing.
Right.
But I think it was the moment where I was like, Benito is not pleased.
Did your brother confirm that this was what happened when your sister?
No,
your sister-in-law
doesn't like it.
So I presume.
I've never said to my brother, with whom I like to think I have a close relationship, not sexual, let me add.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I guess
if you're living in a world where you have to add it, you gotta wonder why.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that incest is like actually very common? I've never fucked my brother for real, but did you legit know that? Like a lot of people are fucking their sibs or doing shit.
No.
I don't think that's true.
It is true. We can talk about it another time. But a thing is that I think a lot of people are experimenting with family members. Like maybe it's more cousins.
I don't think that's true.
I'll find the statistic
and send it to you. How are they even getting those statistics? Who's admitting to that?
Sarah,
let alone that many, that is common.
Please don't send me those statistics.
I'm live tweeting it to you now. I've never said to my brother, can you please confirm in 2008?
Ben has never had to write on his list of things in the podcast, incest. He's written on his notepad. He's never had to do that before.
I bring the heat, motherfuckers. My brother made me some wonderful nachos.
Thank you.
For what I believe was my 36th birthday.
Okay. Mm.
He homemade the tortilla chips.
Yeah.
They were like freshly fried.
Wow.
He made a mole sauce.
Yeah.
There, it went heavy on the homemade.
Just even the way you're talking about the nachos, I can't. You want to bang your brother.
Yeah, you. It's so obvious, Sarah.
This is not fair.
It's so obvious.
I think he's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to bang.
Yeah.
I don't want to bang.
Yeah.
Describe the nachos more.
All right, you guys. They were like so tasty in my mouth. I'm trying to talk about food in a serious way now. I'm trying to bring it back.
Well, the nachos sound lovely.
They do sound good, nachos. They
Whatever.
Sound great. Yeah.
You know what? I think if you talk to my parents, they would sound like they want to bang him too. I think there's this weird fixation in my family with like my brother's excellence.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are like these pieces of shit.
Yeah.
We just get to wander around and be related to the king.
Yeah.
That is the attitude.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds very difficult. But that sounds like a wonderful starter.
Is there meat on the nachos?
No.
Guacamole?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
No nacho without guac. Perhaps skip the cheese because I never love the combo of the cheese and the sour cream. We go heavy on the sour cream. Mm-hmm. It's going to be meat-free because I feel there's too much else going on these nachos and you don't want to overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
So a salsa fresca.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like some fresh jalapeno.
And there, it's just, it's the perfect expression. I feel that a classic, just showing I can talk about food right now, that the classic, there are how many amazing combos are there of a cheese and a bread? No, that means small and I'm going for big, right?
There's an infinite.
It seems like there's an infinitesimal.
I think it,
that's what I said.
I don't know words.
I think it is. I think that's right.
Infinite.
Vast.
Infinite.
I have another anecdote right now, which I am keeping to myself.
No, because I don't want, this is what I didn't want. I didn't want you to be keeping them. I'm thinking, oh, I can't tell my anecdotes.
I just, if you, there's no cheese on it, it doesn't feel like nachos to
me. Oh, okay. I'll put cheese. I'm not adamant about the lack of cheese. Yeah. I have found as I age that really, like, what I love in nachos is truly the sour cream.
Yeah.
Okay. Because too often the, go on.
No, I scratched my neck. And literally, I knew, because Sarah looked at me as I was and I knew.
I thought you were saying, Sarah's, like, there's something
Sarah's
on your neck.
Sarah's going to think that's the thing.
Every movement.
So as soon as I, because I noticed that anything we do, like you were saying, like, Benito hates this.
Yeah.
And I know anything
it's
we do.
It's so exhausting to be around me. I know that's true.
Every movement we make, you are reading as something deeper than it is. Or you're reacting to every movement. It's like interviewing a cat.
Do you want to shout out your sexy brother's sandwich shop?
No. That motherfucker earns so much more money than I do, and I'm not pleased about it.
From his sandwich shop?
Yeah, he's doing so much better than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for him. So I don't want to shout out, but I will. It is the fat, as we say in America, shallot. The fat shallot. There's some brick and mortar shops.
Yeah.
And then his sandwich truck, if you follow the fat shallot, we better fucking get to promo in my shit because this is bullshit that I'm promoting my brother's stuff. But everyone go to a sandwich shop in Chicago. It's very, very good. And he's a good, sexy boy.
Yeah.
Who works hard and he makes those sandwiches.
You can out his sister.
You can always tell where the truck is because it's being followed by a line of horny women.
Your dream main course, Sarah.
Okay. This was between two things.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted something in the family of a fish chowder. I'm not that familiar with fish chowder, but I feel like once in a while I've been in New England. Sorry to talk about the other one. But like a New England of Martha's Vineyard. And I had a fish stew, but it was creamy and it was so delicious. And so that is sort of hanging out here as an option. But I think if forced to choose, it would be like I mostly don't eat meat anymore, but this is a fantasy situation.
Yep.
Like a pastrami on rye with some really good sauerkraut, just the right amount of dressing, enough but not too much, and the right pastrami.
Is there anywhere in your mind that you're getting this from? Is there a particular place?
Yeah, I think there is.
The fat shallot?
No. We're done talking. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No, sorry. Okay.
We've spoken about it enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. Be Googling it later. Yeah.
Please do.
Fat shallot owner nude. Sorry.
Google images.
Yeah.
Katz's Deli in New York.
Yeah.
Now, I lived in New York for 15 years, but what makes me very sad when I get back there now is I'm like, why weren't you going more places in New York? You know, I think I went to Katz's Deli once and I should have gone once every couple months.
Yeah.
Like there are ways in which I really exploited that city, but ways in which I'm like, you should have gone on more walks. You should have gone to this part of the island one. You should have done these things. And I feel whatever about me, like in whatever way I regret not milking the city as much as I could.
Yeah.
Something in that will be healed by sitting at Katz's Deli and ordering a pastrami on rye.
Yeah. I mean, I love it.
A sandwich. I mean, a great I know you're a 30 Rock fan, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't mean to brag, but I have done, it hasn't gone out yet.
Yeah.
But I did Celebrity Mastermind, and they ask you for your specialist subject, and I was like, no brand. Like, I didn't know that you couldn't just do whatever you wanted. Yes. I gave no thought to it, and I was like, 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And then they said, Ed fucking Gamble.
Yeah.
But a Liz Lemon quote is like, the greatest thing in life is like the perfect sandwich. And I believe this to be true. It is just, that's why I don't understand people who don't like bread. Like, how can you not love a sandwich?
When you did Celebrity Mastermind.
Uh-huh.
So you were in Belfast for that, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
That is where I consistently have the best seafood chowder ever.
That's unbelievably upsetting news because
I'm not sure that's how he meant it.
No. But I went to Belfast early. I've never been there before. And I was like, oh, this is somewhere I'd like to have, you know, at least a half of a day, if not more, to like walk around and explore. And I asked for all these recommendations. Like, I'm not a great, I'm a real baby when it comes to travel. Like, I leave it up to whomever else to figure out where we'll eat and what we'll do. And I was like, no, you're grown up. And I got these recommendations and just none of it. Like, I think I was there on a Sunday and a lot of things close early.
Everything's closed in Belfast on Sunday. I always end up there on Sunday and I'm gutted because everything's shut.
What was the name of the place that you went to?
Well, it's always a different place. So every time I go, I just ask whoever. So on this occasion, I ask the people who booked Celebrity Mastermind, where's the best place to get seafood chowder? I ask this ahead of time over email. I went to the Cloth here in Belfast. You know, normally, whenever I'm going to do a gig, I just say to them, where is currently doing the best seafood chowder in Belfast?
God, that's great, changes a lot. James.
It changes pretty regularly.
It's because you're asking a different person, that's why.
No, great.
It doesn't change. There isn't one place that everyone agrees on, and then it changes and they have a meeting.
Well, then this is great.
People have just got different opinions.
Either way,
yeah,
works out pretty well.
Either way, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
What I've gained from this, which is very instructive, is I'm going to say, here's what I want to eat. Where should I go? Not, is there a restaurant you would recommend? I think that's actually a better, a less overwhelming question for a person.
Yes, I think so.
Also, I was actually going to offer you, actually, before we do move on fully, soup and a sandwich is a meal.
Mm. Oh.
I also forgot to say, when I go to Katz's Deli, I get Reuben with pastrami. So I think they do it as standard with salt beef.
Oh, shit.
But I get pastrami Reuben.
Oh, God,
is the best.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
Side of the seafood chowder.
Yeah.
That you had in Belfast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Actually, well, then may I recommend? I loved the one at the Cloth. It was delicious. There was little bits of treats in it as well. That was a nice touch.
Shit.
But the best one I've ever had was weirdly, and you'd have to go back in time to this specific to 2018. Mm-hmm. And go to the Holiday Inn.
What?
In Belfast. Yeah. I didn't see it coming.
Did someone recommend that to you?
Nope. I was staying there. It was on the menu. I was writing a book at the time as well. So in the daytime, so I was just in my room. So I was ordered room service. It arrived. It's the best seafood chowder I've ever had.
What?
It blew my mind. I had the same thing the next day. It was so good.
Was it the first one you'd ever had?
Nope. I had many before. I'm
trying to find a reason
for it. I couldn't believe...
Yeah, that's fair. And when you reflect on that now, you feel... You own that opinion. You don't think there was something going on with you then?
No, so I went back.
There's always something going on.
Yeah, like perceiving things. Yeah.
But I went back. So next time I was in Belfast, I was like, we're going to the... I wasn't staying there anymore. But I was like, we're going there. I ordered it and it wasn't as good. And I said to the waiter, I was like, you got the same chef that you had last year? And he was like, oh, no, but... Did you have a seafood chowder? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, it was really good. And he was like, that was great. And that guy was like, he made such, but we all loved it.
Oh.
And then he's gone. And he said, I'll admit this, it's not as good anymore. And I was like,
that's good that you had someone verify that opinion as well.
Because I was so heartbroken that I couldn't shut my mouth when he came and took the bowl away.
Sure. But it's like very interesting. Not that we want to, you know, make any assumptions about anybody ever. Mm. But if you picture the person who can make like one of the great seafood chowders of the world, you don't just necessarily place them at the Holiday Inn.
No, unless, think about this.
Oh, God.
Maybe that guy was doing a reverse bear.
Yeah.
Reverse bear.
Or maybe that was the start of the bear story.
The start of the bear story.
It's an amazing chef, works there for a bit, but then is like, I'm destined for better things.
Yeah, goes on to better things and then sets up a sandwich shop.
Yeah.
And then fucks his sister.
We've never fucked.
Mm.
We've never kissed.
In real life, outside of your imagination.
Outside of my imagination.
But your side dish, you want the chowder that I had.
Oh, no. I have another. I thought the chowder was included as part of my main with my soup. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Like a soup and sandwich. Yeah. I can even go half a
we'll
sandwich in the soup.
We'll include it, yeah.
My side is going to be, so again, at this Italian restaurant that figured, I think, heavily in my something. It's just, it's in me, that mm-hmm. Italian restaurant still.
Yeah.
They did, like, part of the menu was all these different little, like, vegetables served in ramekins, which sounds uninteresting. Mm. Some of the greatest vegetables I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow.
And at this time, I was very into eating the rainbow. Have you guys ever done the rainbow?
No.
Done the rainbow, Ed?
I know what you mean by eating the rainbow.
You eat sort of like you eat all the colors of the rainbow in a day, and you're going to be like fucking fittest you have ever been in your life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's anything to do with the rainbow as such. I mean, it just encourages people to eat loads of different vegetables, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to be vegetables.
Well, no, because you could
it's not
eat
Skittles.
Because I could eat all the colors of the rainbow. Yeah.
We're not going Skittles or like the rainbow, the actual rainbow you talked about earlier. Yeah. No, it's like, so you sort of move through these things. And I would get, they served this broccoli rabe that was served with like these very finely sliced chilies and a pressed salted ricotta cheese.
Oh my God.
Some very fine olive oil.
Yeah.
And that would be my green.
Yeah.
Do you think eating the rainbow is ever cancelled out by cheese and olive oil?
Ask me that question in another way. Ever cancel? Oh, meaning if I ate the rainbow but then do my cheese and olive oil, like is it a healthy versus unhealthy? Is that the question?
Do you think you can make something healthy, unhealthy by covering it in cheese and olive oil? Because eating the rainbow to me, I was like, oh, broccoli, that sounds good.
You're thinking that broccoli rub does not sound healthy because it's got olive oil and cheese all over it.
I understand your point.
Yeah.
You're seeing it wrong.
Yes.
Think predominantly broccoli rabe, but not in a healthy way, in just a respect the rabe kind of way. Respect the rabe.
I wasn't respecting the rabe.
My purple of choice when I would rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that instantly sounds gross.
Would be red onions. So I was like eating red onions every day.
Not purple.
No.
Sorry. But you know how a red onion is purple, so it would count as my purple.
Clues in the name.
It's red, isn't it?
But it is purple.
Nah.
You guys, it's not even about the
beetroot's there. It's right there, beetroot.
Beetroot would be pink for me.
Beetroot's red.
The red onion's more pink than purple.
I'm telling you right now, if you were to cut open a raw beet right now, what you would see is magenta. And if you were looking at a red onion and you were new to our planet, you would call it a purple onion.
You'd still call it an onion, would you?
You know what I'm saying.
Well, I'm new, but that's definitely an onion. I just can't quite work out my colours.
What colour it is,
The thing is, I agree that it is purple, but because it's called a red onion, I couldn't let that be my purple.
No. Pickled beetroot would be my purple.
Pickled?
Well, you know,
it's red beetroot.
Beetroot is not red. A tomato is red. Benito is looking like we're getting in the weeds with this. He thinks we're getting in the weeds.
Benito, Google beetroot. Google pickled beetroot. You know the ones that come in packets?
Yeah, Google pickled beetroot.
We're looking at beetroot.
That's red.
That's purple, mate.
This is cooked.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
That when we're looking at the less cooked stuff, that is a magenta. That is a true magenta. The finest color of the...
I say, if I was eating the rainbow, that would be my purple. I'm not saying it's completely purple, but that would be my purple.
No way.
Yeah, way.
It's red.
I owned a George Foreman grill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I would slice my red onion every day, grill it, and then eat it. With like, I'd put it on like some like cottage cheese or something. My best friend is a woman named Maggie. Her husband is named Joey. Go on. You.
I know that James enjoys names.
Uh-huh.
And Maggie... It's very funny.
My best friend is a woman called Maggie.
Yeah.
It's a very funny sentence to hear from an adult.
Are you saying it's a child's name?
Yeah.
Having and a best friend.
And what's her husband's name?
Oh, no, it's Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're like, saying but to also, me those are baby names?
I guess just hearing an adult say my best friend. So that's funny anyway. I find best friends. And I look, I have, you know, friends.
You think there's something as an adult about having a best friend that is a child?
One. Best friend is very funny.
That always makes me laugh.
Is it?
Yeah.
Any grown
is it?
But it's not like I think it's weird. It's just that any grown up talking about their best friend makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I think that's funny.
You guys don't have our best friend.
Not our best friend. No, so
best
people,
friends.
I would call my best friends.
Yeah. Do your Mish. Wife and partner like have a best friend?
No.
No.
Close friends.
Close
Multiple
friends.
Close friends, but
tight,
no best.
A tight knit group.
Yeah.
Can I just say I also have a tight-knit group, but then I also have our best friend.
Maggie is the queen of the friends.
She's the queen.
But I don't even see that as weird. It just always makes me laugh.
It's such childlike behavior.
The name Maggie goes
and
very
then the
well
name Maggie to you feels teeny tiny.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
And she's a teeny tiny lady, so she's just very miniature in all these ways.
There's something that I just find funny. Like if someone's saying they're scared, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with being scared.
It's anything
but it makes me laugh.
Childlike.
Probably.
Makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Maybe. But like, so you say my best friend is a woman called Maggie.
That I'm hitting all your boxes funny, with that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Joey small?
They're both, you know what? They are both. What I hate about them is that they are both aging unbelievably well. They're in their mid 40s now, and they legit look better than they did in their 20s.
Because they're called Maggie and Joey.
Because they're called Maggie and Joey, and they're just compact people.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Fashion and they just are very, very, very cool. You getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So they come over to my house. We're in our 20s. And so it's the vibe is very like single Sarah and the young married couple who's been together since they were like 23.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they come to my apartment and we're like hanging out, whatever. Okay. And then it's the next, that's like on a Sunday. And the next day is a Monday. Hello. And Maggie calls me late on Monday night and she's like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. She goes, we opened our closet this morning to get our coats and we both opened like to go to their real jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, we opened the closet and it fucking stank.
Oh.
And we looked at each other. Okay. They went, Sarah's onions. And they worked out that there was like a stink of onion that had permeated my apartment so intensely. Yeah. And I was like, do you think I smell like onion? Because I have very porous hair. I'm just like a porous person.
What?
And I was like, I have very porous hair.
Hair.
And I was like, I bet.
You know, a nickname spongy hair on the circuit.
I bet it is. Oh, I have the worst hair. I have the worst. And I was like, do you think I'm walking around smelling like onion? And she's like, well, I'm telling you this because I think you might.
Yeah.
I think if our coats stink of onion because they were just in your apartment, like, why should we be convinced that you're just not stinking of onion all the time?
I smell of onion all the time.
Your dream drink, Sarah?
I think the dream drink for me is some combination. My two favorite things are coffee, a good coffee, but then some very, very strong alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's not fashionable, but I feel some variation of like the espresso martini. It's probably something that I just like fucking love.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a double espresso with some Sambuca, like something
like an Irish coffee.
I think so. I've never had an Irish coffee, but I bet I'd really, really like
it. Yeah, I bet you would.
But my problem is there's never a moment in the day when I feel comfortable combining caffeine and liquor.
Sure.
It's either too early for the liquor or too late for the caffeine.
Yeah.
This
should be, this has routine written all over it. I'm not one to say to comedians that should be a routine, but come on. The premise there. Surely.
Really?
Really?
Too early for liquor or too late for caffeine. There's so much there that you can work with.
But we all know that when comedians say, oh, you should do a routine on that, or I really like that bit of your routine, what they're saying is either I could do a routine on that or I wish I'd done that joke.
Yeah, I could do it. Yeah.
I think you could do a routine on that.
Too
You'd like to take that.
Too early for liquor. Too late for coffee.
Yeah,
but you can say anything in that voice.
No,
very
that
funny.
Is very specific.
That's what everyone says about you. Yeah. All note and no content.
Yeah.
I went my son and I, when like he ended school, like before the Christmas holidays last year, there was like a day where we were going to run an errand. And I'm like the one who never does fun shit.
Yeah.
And my husband is all like, they go on these adventures. And it's because I'm not fun. Like, I really am not fun. But I was like, I'm going to be fun on this day. Like, we're going to go have a fun day.
That, by the way, is the least fun energy anyone can have.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be fun today.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
have a fun day. That
exactly.
is not
fun. You're like Monica.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that is exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Just, I've had friends say to me, like, there's these ways that we all like to think of ourselves as like good friends. I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
I think like my energy on a night out is so ruinous. I was being called like the granny when I was in my 20s. Like I got no fun to me at all. I want to like sit, eat a little something. Talk about my feelings, talk about your feelings, drink a little more than I'm comfortable with, worry I'm going to throw up, ruin the night, call it a night. Yeah. Like, that's my repertoire.
No. I've gone out and had a late night meal with you before.
Yes.
And it was great.
I thought we had, I thought we had very good chemistry that night. We went out with your partner and I just thought I felt good about that social night.
Yeah, well.
How often do you go out with someone and their partner and think that you have good chemistry?
Why you think did he tell you it was bad? Did we have bad chemistry?
No, I didn't tell anyone it was bad. Jesus Christ. In fact,
how often
my girlfriend and I went away from the night saying, what a brilliant What a meal that was.
It was a great meal.
Lovely conversations. We loved Sarah. You drank
old fashions. It inspired. I think I started drinking old fashions. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do old fashions now.
Yeah.
I love going out with a couple. I rarely do it now because I'm in one. That's just like, that was, you know, a lot of my 20s was in that. I love being alone with a couple because I love talking. Why is that funny? I don't know why that's...
How much you emphasize the word love.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Okay, that was ridiculous.
So that was funny.
I'm always so interested in people's partners. Mm-hmm. I think it says so much about them. I love getting to watch a little dynamic unfold. Mm-hmm. It's my absolute favorite thing. I had a great night that night.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. If you've met someone, you've met them a few times and then you meet their partner. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So you're not like super good friends with them. You've known for years. This is their new partner. But you've met someone a few times. Then you meet their partner. It can change how you...
Adds a piece to the puzzle.
You get information. Mm. You get so much information so fast. It's how much I emphasize things when I speak, isn't it? It's so ridiculous.
What I'm really enjoying as well is whatever reaction I have or whatever I say, it sends you spinning down a new alleyway of neuroses.
Yes.
You know, I have always... And I hope today is some kind of correction for me, and I believe that it is. But when we have been around each other previously, I feel that... I become my worst self around you.
Yeah. So that's not good chemistry, right?
Well, I think it's completely my fault. I think there's some way that I feel need... You won't remember this, I don't think, but the first time I remember us like being together, which would have been gigging together, was at a gig in Bristol, and it was when I was like learning to open, and I felt bad about the gig, and da-da-da-da-da, and we're driving back... I think we drove back to London together. You were... And there was someone in stand-up who I had rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
And I was like, but I'd never heard anyone bitch about him. And I was like, how am I the only one that understands this guy is like, no, this guy is a no. Mm. And then his name came up and you went on a tear about him. But it wasn't aggressive. It was measured. And I went, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
I was like, this guy fucking gets it.
He gets it. Yeah.
And I think there was something that I then put on you about you seeing people right. You get it. He fucking reads the goddamn room. And I think at that point I became so desperate to be like, I'm great, Ed, right? That I would constantly be like, I felt like every time I saw you for a year, I was like, anything new going on with your wedding planning? And I would think to myself, I know how to talk to people. I know how to ask them. I know how to be interesting. Yeah. But every fucking time with this guy, it's like, and is your wedding? And I'm just horrible.
Always asking about his wedding.
Always. About the planning. And then maybe I saw you after and I was like, good wedding then? Like, it was the only thing that had ever happened to you.
Yeah.
I liked catching up with you about my wedding.
Well, that's very generous. I felt I was, like, teaching you slowly to steer clear of me.
Sure. No way. You're on the pod.
So first of all, I'd say everyone has that with someone. Everyone has a person. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a person who they panic around every time, and in their head, they've messed it up every time. So I think everyone's got that with someone.
Definitely.
But I would say with you, it's everyone you know.
This is terrible. But I really want to change that.
I'll be honest with you, Sarah. This is the first time we've done this in the Dream Restaurant, but I don't think we should give you an espresso martini.
Because I'm too hyped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair. It's fair.
A decaf espresso martini?
But isn't that like a pussy move? Like a pussy move.
A pussy move.
Like, no, you can't have a decaf.
No.
Oh, I thought you were accusing Ed. Because I don't know what pussy move is.
I don't think... I think it just...
I thought you were accusing Ed of by him saying that to you, it was him doing a pussy move on you.
Oh, no.
Like it was a disgusting term for like a sex thing. Like a hitting...
Like a chat up line.
Like he's negging you.
Yeah.
Going, hey, I don't think you should have that. And you're like, oh, I get what's happening.
Because
of the leaps that you've been making for some of Ed's little things.
Put this out there, it wasn't.
No, of course. Okay. Of course.
I was just suggesting that.
You were trying to be kind.
Yeah.
Here's what it is. It's the right day for me to get to have. I'm not working at night. I don't really have much to do except swan around.
Yeah.
And I'm sat down someplace that's going to do a nice one at 1 p.m.
Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Christmas Eve.
Would you have espresso martini at 1 p.m.?
Yeah.
I love that.
On Christmas Eve?
Oh, yeah. That sounds wonderful. Or even I would say like the 23rd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and like my husband and I always go and see It's a Wonderful Life, and sometimes if we can, we'll go in the afternoon. So maybe I'd have it like on the 22nd. while watching It's a Wonderful Life. Oh my God.
Me and my wife do all our Christmas shopping in the center of London on the 22nd or 23rd.
That is so beautiful.
And it's a wonderful wife.
It is a wonderful
And then, so we get it all done, then go for an early dinner, normally at Bentley's, and eat seafood and drink champagne. Basically, but the dinner gets earlier and earlier.
We know what champagne leads to.
Yeah.
We know where that's going to go.
Bit of Michael going on the jukebox.
Michael B.
Michael B.
Can I add something into your mix as you guys mature as a couple?
Yes.
Adding in.
Split up.
Who talks like that? Can I add something into the mix as you guys mature as a couple? Yep.
As they mature with their traditions.
Yes.
You guys are going to go. You pick. It could be Liberty. It could be Fortnum and Mason. Mm-hmm. It could be Harrods.
Yeah.
Every year, you go to one of those stores and you each can pick out a precious new ornament for your Christmas tree.
Mm. Now, we sort of do something a bit like that, but you understand if you suggest traditions for other couples in the way you just did it, there's no way they're ever going to do them. Because every time they do them, they'll go, Sarah Baron told me to do that in the creepiest way I've ever seen.
Oh, I thought I was doing it in like a sweet way. Oh my God.
They'll think
trying to be sweet and I'm seeming creepy. Sweetie.
Yeah.
It's like giving you my sweet face, not creepy.
But
oh God.
Your dream dessert, Sarah.
I think my dream dessert, when I was a kid, we went on a family holiday and I was allowed to get a dessert. And so that already felt festive. Mm-hmm. And I went to this restaurant, and I've never seen this before, where they put lemon sorbet into an actual lemon. And I thought it was the most beautiful. We started with princesses, and I feel we're just going to bring it back in for a landing with a princess. Like I felt like a princess eating lemon sorbet out of a lemon. Mm. Now, I want that magic in my life as an adult.
Yeah.
Now, I feel as an adult that sorbet on its own is a bullshit food. Mm. I have no respect for it. A bit of a very, very good sorbet paired with a very flavor-rich gelato. Mm. So maybe we're doing, what about this? Like a really good coconut ice cream with a very, very good tangerine sorbet.
Mm. Would you like the tangerine sorbet in a tangerine and the coconut in half coconut?
No.
Okay.
I think what I want is still the lemon shell, but a really, really good lemon ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
With a little bit of maybe a coconut ice cream as well.
All in the lemon.
All packed in to that frozen lemon. And I dip in and I feel like a little lady again.
So you, but it's not lemon sorbet anymore.
No.
It's lemon ice cream now.
It brings me the joy that I felt as a child, but with my more adult opinions on dessert, which is that sorbet is never going to cut it.
I've had lemon sorbet out of a lemon before in a curry house because they tend to pop up on curry house menus as dessert.
Yeah.
I ordered a punky penguin and they'd run out.
What's a punky penguin?
Oh,
it's ice cream in a plastic penguin.
People love it. Yeah. Kids love it. It's
sure,
kids.
Of course.
Kids love it. I ordered it because I was feeling free, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And the penguin has like spiky red.
Like
a punk, yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't have it, so they had the sorbet and the lemon, so I had that, and I felt like a princess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I was gutted about punky.
And then did that sort of deprivation of punky, were you, like, did you get fixated on it until you were then able to have punky penguin?
I've not had a punky penguin since then, because rarely am I feeling that free, and rarely is it on the menu in the places I go. Mm.
Have you, I have as an adult, there was some day, it was like all the stars aligned, and I was on my own. And since having a child, I went on a beautiful summer's day and I had an ice cream cone just walking on my own on a beautiful summer's day. And that is one of like the happiest times I've had in recent history.
Yeah.
There's something, nice. it's very, very childhood joy, these ice cream situations, I find.
Yes, I agree.
It's brilliant. Every time I think it's my turn to have an ice cream.
How many times in a week do you eat ice cream, James?
Well, I guess on average, because obviously some weeks I don't have ice cream at all, but some weeks
I mean,
go crazy.
Yeah, you go car, right?
So maybe on average, an average year, once or twice a week.
After dinner or as like a mid-afternoon snack?
As dinner.
Never as dinner. After dinner, usually, but then sometimes it might be in the afternoon. If I'm at a seaside town and someone's like, let's get an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no to that.
No, you're not. Okay.
So it can pop up in the afternoon.
Sure.
But usually it'll be after dinner.
I love this lemon sorbet in the lemon with a bit of coconut in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get much in there, though.
And I love anything that has like a tropical... I like to feel like I'm in the tropics when I eat my dessert. Mm-hmm. Never been to the tropics, but I would like to go, and it's what takes me there.
And you see someone walking down the beach, you're like, hubba, hubba. And then he gets closer. Oh, no, it's my brother.
I'm not talking about that anymore.
Hubba, hubba, brother, brother.
Anything you want to say to hubba, hubba, brother, brother?
You know what I'm thinking about? It's like that 30 Rock, the 30 Rock scene. I always enjoy being around someone who's obsessive about the show because I feel like most of my life I'm walking around just wanting to make 30 Rock references and be like, wait, you know the scene where? But you know the scene where like, I don't know if it's off That's a Deal Breaker, Ladies, where Liz Lemon, she gets it again.
Is that why you like a lemon ice cream?
Maybe it is.
There's lemon ice cream.
She and Jenna are both going to get to be on the cover of a magazine, and Jenna was like, you're not going to goad me into, like, I'm going to. Yeah. And now I feel like I'm not going to discuss wanting to fuck my brother anymore.
Well, it's the end of the episode.
Well, good point, well made. Let me read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like still water, sourdough bread with olive oil and sea salt. Starter, your dream plate of nachos made by your hot brother.
Showing.
Quack, sour cream, salsa fresca, jalapeno, homemade nachos made by hand. Main course, pastrami on rye with sauerkraut and dressing and a side of seafood chowder. And we're going to Katz's Deli for the sandwich there. And we're going to the Holiday Inn in Belfast in 2018 for the seafood chowder. Side dish, broccoli rabe with chili and ricotta from...
Now defunct, it was called Otto Inoteca Pizzeria.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Drink espresso martini at 1 p.m. on Christmas Eve or the 23rd.
Or the 22nd.
Or the 22nd.
Or the 22nd.
Not the 21st, I don't think.
No, too early.
That's when you do your final gig before Christmas.
Yes, that is when you do your final gig before Christmas.
Yeah.
Not me. November.
Yeah. Ed.
Living the life. Oh, he lives the life.
Dessert. Lemon and coconut ice cream in a lemon shell.
I think it sounds good.
It does sound good.
Do you think it sounds...
Yeah,
be honest with me. Do you think it sounds
genuinely
good?
It genuinely does. And I wasn't expecting it to sound good because we've just been talking about incest for a lot of the episode.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I think it does sound good. I'd say I definitely enjoy all of it. I would enjoy the dessert. But I also find it funny that that's your dream dessert.
Why?
Just...
Oh, no.
Two scoops of ice cream in a lemon shell is just funny to me.
Why? I genuinely don't understand why that's funny.
I thought we were just wrapping up the episode and now Sarah's got worried about something again.
No. I'm not worried. I'm done because I understand I don't want to be exhausting to people and I understand that my worry is exhausting. But I think I think it seems like, that would make sense. It's like a childhood...
And it's
fantasy,
refreshing. It shouldn't be a childhood fantasy. That's fucking ridiculous.
It's just a lemon.
It's just a bit of lemon.
I know. I remember it. I remember it so well.
Yeah. It's not. I think it's a nice memory.
The first time you see it.
Amazing.
Lemon sorbet in the lemon shell.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Sarah.
Guys, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, James and Ed.
Well, there we are, James. What a wild ride with Sarah Baron. I loved that episode.
Fantastic episode. We learned so much about Sarah, heard about some delicious food, and crucially, Sarah did not choose a Wendy's burger.
She did not choose to sleep with her brother. That's very crucial. She wanted us to get that point
across. She wanted us to make that very clear.
Yes. So we didn't have to kick her out the restaurant for either picking the secret ingredient or incest. So thank you very much for that, Sarah. Do listen to Sarah's podcast.
They Like to Watch.
They Like to Watch, the podcast she does with Jeff Lloyd, wonderful broadcaster, and also Sarah's husband.
You heard about him in this episode.
About TV, exactly. So do go and listen to that. Follow Sarah on social media. Try and see her live, for goodness sake. She's an absolutely brilliant comedian. But thank you again, Sarah. And thank you to you guys, the listeners.
Thank you to the listeners. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Benito.
Thank you, Benito. Bit rude. Didn't say thank you back.
Didn't even look at us.
No. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Grow onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.